Our first reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The second reading is from John 12, verses 20 to 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Saviour, Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said, an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word and our mouths to sing your praises. Amen. So we've been travelling through Lent. We don't have many candles left, do we? We've put out one each Sunday, and we only have two candles left. Next weekend is Palm Sunday, followed by Holy Week. Our time together, and yes, the wreath that started out so bright and beautiful at the start of Lent is wilting. Just as it may have seemed to the disciples, as the tension and Jesus' repeated predictions of what was going to happen to him heated up. And then we have this curious incident. This curious incident where people from Greece, in that world, the thinkers, the philosophers come and say, we want to see this Jesus. We want to know what this Jesus is about. And here lies a moment. So next slide. We have Jesus, and Jesus grew well and truly up within the Jewish tradition. and the Hebrew people saw themselves as the people who carried God's promise into the world. And core to that, of course, were these Ten Commandments. Set of rules that then had rules and rules and more rules. And just in case you haven't got the message, even more rules to help you not accidentally make a mistake and break one of the earlier ones. It was a whole heap to remember. But part of that all was about being a separate people, set aside for God's work. Historically, that didn't go all that well. So we have in our readings today the prophet Jeremiah. Next slide, please, David. We have the prophet who is often referred to as the weeping prophet. We have stories of people and times where everyone tried really hard and followed God well. But then we have times where people got complacent or just greedy and wandered away and things got really bad. And for them, the ultimate, if you would have told the people when Jeremiah was born, what would be the lowest they could possibly go? And they would say, our beloved temple being destroyed. Jeremiah lives in the lifetime that sees that happen. Jeremiah writes words of warning going, God told you what you have to be. God told you what you had to do. And you're not doing it. Turn back, it's not too late. And of course they tried everything but turning back because, like us, they're human. And eventually we have those horrible events that are described not just in Jeremiah, but in the entire book of Lamentations, which is the story of the city of Jerusalem being laid siege to, being essentially ransacked and destroyed. But at the end of it all, there's a change in Jeremiah. There's a change in Jeremiah, and you see a little bit of it in Lamentations. There's a whole heap of Lamentations, which if I read in church, you'd be writing letters to presbytery saying, David can't say that in church. It is just too horrible. You don't want those things said in church. But get up there and sing the steadfast love of the Lord. Three verses in the middle of all this desolation. Lamentations is a really interesting book, actually. You know those acrostic poems, you know, where mother, M is for whatever, O? Lamentations starts with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet at the first chapter. And the second chapter begins with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, all the way through for 23 letters. At that point, at the end of the 23rd letter, we have the beautiful bit, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's faithfulness is with us, even in the most dark of times. And you think, oh, isn't that a happy ending? Then he starts at A again. Because even when you have hope, the reality still remains. And he hadn't run out of bad stuff to complain to God about yet. But near the end of Jeremiah, after the shoe has dropped, Jeremiah writes. He writes to the people who've been dragged away as hostages. It's useless taking over a country if you don't have the people to worship, to work it. So what they do is take all the rulers away and hold them in hostages in the foreign country, or take a whole heap of people, all the artists and hold them as hostages, and then set the who were left as essentially slave labour. Jeremiah wrote to those people, God sent you here for 70 years. So you better put down some roots. But God's faithfulness doesn't go away. And then he writes this passage after he said, stop trying to be this separate, distinctive people, or stop sitting around and feeling sorry for yourselves. If you don't have kids, there's going to be no one left to go back again when God wants to bring you back. So you've got to get on with life, even though life is not as you would have desired or wished it. But then he said, God's doing a new thing. Even God realizes this old covenant thing isn't working out. And whose fault is that? Well, it's not God's. But God is going to do a new thing. And instead of those words being written on the cold, those cold stones hidden away in the Ark of the Covenant, wherever that ended up after the whole schmozzle, it's going to be written on every person's heart. And then instead of the experience of being God's people being about how you're taught and ordered and the way you dress and all those other things, it's going to start from here. It's going to start from in your hearts. So Jesus has this moment where the Greeks come and say, we want to see Jesus. And Jesus goes, it's on. It's happening. This new covenant, this new thing God is doing, is happening. And it's happening through me. Some of the other prophets, other than Jeremiah, pointed out that this was also going to be God, the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham way back at the start, that the people he was going to have, his descendants, would be a blessing to the whole world. So that's where we get tied in. We're on the Greek side in all this, aren't we? So next slide, please, David. So Jesus goes, now's the time. It's happening. God is at work. And he's already told them what that means. Then he gives these words. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, glorified in Greek is one of those tricky words. The same word for glorified could be when I grab and say, come up here to the nice high place, and you're going to sit with me and we're going to but also can be the word for being lifted up. It's a word play that doesn't work in Hebrew, it only works in Greek, but it's a word play often used in John, and it's a matter of, there's been an awful lot of ink wasted on every one of those times it's used, is going talking about Jesus being glorified, raised up to heaven, or Jesus talking about the cross. I'm personally with the kid from the Tucko ads. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It's actually a beautiful piece of writing to help us explain that those two things are interlinked. So you see later on, when I'm lifted up from the earth, that lifted up is actually exactly the same word in Greek as glorified. The time, hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He knows the price, and he's willing to pay that price for what God is doing. What has been promised will come through him. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Yesterday I noticed the new war memorial. Has anyone seen the new war memorial at Cleveland? It's a war memorial for those returned soldiers who lost the battle of the mind. Much overdue and something we don't think often enough about as we support our veterans. Jesus is not talking about that way of life, but Jesus is saying that if we find our value of life simply in living, if we shut ourselves away, if we don't dare to love another person, if we don't dare to give of ourselves, and it's all about us, what happens to us? Our world gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And I'm sure you've seen people do it. Go into themselves and just fade away. We don't find life in seeking life. We find life in living life. We find life, as Jesus says, in our willingness to give of ourselves. The moments in life where we treasure, that we treasure. The moments in life when we sit back and think about what brought me joy and satisfaction are the moments where we worked together with someone, moments where we created generally together with someone, moments where we made a difference in someone else's life. What do all those things have in common? They all come at a cost, don't they? They all come at a cost. If we want to live our lives fully, we have to be willing to pay that cost, don't we? And I'm very mindful we have Bill out the back there, who's currently paying that hefty price of love. The desolation that happens when your spouse passes away is something that is as individually deep and powerful. And looking out at those who've lost children, to love is to risk grief. I would argue, in fact, next, that that's the core of this passage. That law that is written in our hearts, that law that is written in our lives through the gift of the Holy Spirit, is we are called to be participants in Jesus' way of costly love. That we find fullness not in ourselves, but we find fullness when we hand ourselves to God and say, God, use me. Use me with all my warts and all, and I'm not going to pretend to be perfect. None of us are. But when we know that love of God, that love of God that was so great, that Jesus is going to go, I ask for this to go away, but that's what I'm here for. Little the voices from heaven in John. The first time we hear the voice from heaven in John, the voice from heaven is heard by one person. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I'm pleased. And that was addressed to Jesus. The second time is the transfiguration, and it's Jesus and a select group of three disciples. And they hear, this is my son with whom I'm pleased. Listen to him. This time we hear Jesus pray, Father, glorify your name. And the voice comes from heaven saying, I've glorified it and I will glorify your name. The work of Jesus is breaking out the time has come. And Jesus says, and when I'm lifted up from the earth, when I'm glorified from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. As we proceed through into Holy Week, let us remember that Jesus is not some unwitting participant, but someone who's willing in love for us to give his very all and calls us to the same light. And if you'd like to hear more, tonight's service is actually going to be talking on Lent as a season of love. But I pray that we may know that way of costly love, both of the appreciation of how much Jesus' love cost for us, but also the invitation we have to live and find life, not in what we can achieve or do, but rather in how we can share our lives in love with each other and with the world for which Christ died, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's come with our litany of confession, because